What is your God's name? Part 68. I'm Professor Hannes Rieslinghuis of the First Assembly of Yafashua, South Africa, Pretoria, Montana. Also international meaning that we also spreading the gospel internationally. Should you require any of the books which I've written, especially the book What is Your God's Name? It's a five book over 500 pages with information that you've most probably never in your life ever heard. For that type of information, 150 million Yahwist and Hebrew people were killed in a period of 1,500 years' time by the Roman Catholic Church. They gave their life in order that we today might be able to function and study in the revelation names of Yahweh, Yahashua, and the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. Should you require the book, you can contact me at my cell number, which is my WhatsApp number, plus 27 international code for South Africa, 0722-367-124. Just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za, as you can see right on the top here. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, you are so very, very, very welcome. Please go to part one, start from the beginning, because you've missed out on quite a bit of information. As a newcomer, it's also very important that you will subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications of all the studies, the English studies that we are currently busy with, as well as our TikTok messages. Please send this link or contact to your friends and family, to those that's near to you. Make sure at least have a 1611 King James Bible, pen and a notepad ready. Hallelujah. It's very important that you will know that we do not associate ourselves with any churches, denominations, or organizations in the world. Trust that this study is going to be a blessing unto you. We are going to continue where we left off last week. Now the word says, now we were busy with the demonstration, and now we understand. I'm just going to use my hands as the glasses, the Father and the Son, which is Yahweh, and then Father in heaven, Son on earth, and the Ruach HaKodesh was poured upon him. Isaiah 53 verse 1 to 7 is explaining the following. He says in verse 1, who believed our report? See, people in the last ages, centuries, they wouldn't believe it. And to whom is the arm, I say a right arm, who was the right arm? Yahashua, the Father, the Son. When he poured the Ruach onto him like a dove, it was not a dove. The Son became the right hand, the authority, the revealed authority of Father Yahweh in heaven. We had believed the report, and to whom is the right arm of Yahweh Elohim revealed? The question is, to whom is the right arm of Yahweh revealed? If I should say to you that I have removed my right arm, then it means that my left arm and my legs are still attached to the rest of my body. Meaning, when studying the scripture, it does not show whether the whole body of Yahweh our Elohim was revealed into the Son Yahashua, but it specifically states the right arm or right hand, the arm or hand which is one part of the body, the authority. And that is why people grieve with the right arm or right hand. As we continue the study, we shall see how parts of the Godhead of Yahushua is revealed in the scripture. Now, we're going to continue now with Isaiah 53, now verse 2. For he that's Yahushua shall grow up before him. Who is it? Yahweh Almighty. So what has happened? The Father and the Son, he created himself a body called Yahushua, Father in heaven, Son on earth. He said, the word says, for he, Yahushua, shall grow before him, that's Father Yahweh, as a tender plant, like a small plant, and as a root out of dry grounds. He, Yahushua, had no form or comelessness, and when we, Israel, shall see him, the him is a capital H, Yahushua, there is no beauty that we should desire him. What does this mean in plain English? It just says that Yahushua was not a good looking young man, child and young man. It's not where he's where you see him in different shows as they make photos of this beautiful man with his black hair and white garment. And no, the word says that this is what he says here. He had no form of comeliness, and when we thus Israel see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't look like a king. He didn't look like the King of Kings. He was not a handsome man. According to the scripture, we find out the arm, Yahushua, would be revealed in Yahshua, our Redeemer. We now will find, as I explained already, and you by this time surely understand, so I'm just working through the scripture, how the right arm of Father Yahweh was revealed in Yahushua, not the fullness of the Godhead. There is a scripture that says that the fullness of the Godhead was revealed in Yahushua. It's impossible. The Father couldn't empty himself into one human body. It will just explode, disintegrate. But the right arm, Yahushua only needed the right arm of the Father. And that's why when he was immersed, as he ascended from the water, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, came upon him. And Yahweh said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Verse 3, he, Yahushua, is despised and rejected of men. A beautiful man? No. A man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our face, and we hid as it were our faces from him. They looked away. When they saw him, they didn't want to look at him. That's Yahushua. He was despised, and we Israel esteem him. Look at the capital H. Esteem him, Yahushua, not. So it's not referring to anybody else. Then Yahushua. This scripture has just explained to us that Yahushua was surely not a good-looking young man, but instead was despised. They turned their faces away. All these photos and paintings of Yahushua throughout the ages, according to the scripture, were then not true. Now there is a Maitreya God or Christ for every religion. So what is a Maitreya Christ? Through the Roman Catholic sets up and through the ages, the image was created of Jesus standing as with a little shepherd with a little sheep and beautiful young man. The image was created of this Maitreya. It's an end time Christ. The Muslims has a Maitreya. The Buddhists has the end time Maitreya. The Hindus has an end time. Everyone, every religion has an image what the Savior and Redeemer look like. which was created by the denominations and the churches themselves. So it's not what it is. The idea with the Matriarch Christ is to create the image, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Charismatic, or whatever, Pentecost, or when you say the name Jesus, or you hear the name Jesus, you see this figure, this beautiful figure with his long hair, his blue eyes, and white cloak. The Bible says, they esteemed him not. Verse 4, surely he, that's Yahushua, had bore our griefs. What did he do? He bore my griefs and carried our sorrows, my sorrows. Yet we did esteem him, that's Yahushua, stricken, smitten of Yahweh our Elohim, and afflicted. It's as if they would say that the Father has just rejected him. The Father haven't. He had a plan of redemption. He had a plan of giving life, firstly, unto the nation of Israel, releasing them from 613 laws of Moses, which were worthless, that lost its power, that lost its authority in a period of just over a thousand years. And this Yahushua was to become the high priest of the New Testament. A high priest that did not that need to offer for his own sin, as the priests through Levi and Aaron and Moses had to first offer for their own sins. Yahushua didn't need to offer for his own sins, because the Bible says he knew not sin. He knew about sin, but he never sinned. He was the righteous. He was the representative. He was the authority, the right arm of Father Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth. He was stricken, smitten of Yahweh, his Elohim, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he, Yahushua, was wounded for our transgressions. When the Roman soldiers struck him, when they hit him with a fist, when they forced a crown of thorns onto his head, after being tortured the night and the day, he could barely walk up Calvary's hill. He had to be assisted by Simon of Cyrene to help carry the cross on the one side. But he, Yahushua, was wounded for my transgressions, for your transgressions. He, Yahushua, was bruised for our iniquities. Hallelujah. He wasn't just bruised, he was mauled. It's like dogs that tear him apart. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, that's Yahushua. And with his Yahushua stripes, we, even in this 21st century and beyond, are healed. Are you the Messiah? Are you the Redeemer of Israel? You say it. That's when they hit him with a fist. The soldiers, Caiaphas, the high priest, was asking, and then they assaulted him. The word says he was like a lamb before its shearers. He didn't open his mouth. Why? Because he gave his life for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He could at any time say, sorry, you got the wrong man. And that's why Peter, he was not an apostle on that stage. That's why Peter, when the maid asked him, are you one of them? I don't know him. I'm sure I've seen you walking with him. I'm not sure. I don't know him. And the third time she asked, he says, I swear, I've got nothing to do with him. And still, Yahweh, our Father, had a plan with Peter, who would use the keys of salvation to unlock the kingdom of Yahweh unto the world 2,000 years ago. How did Peter use the keys on the day of Pentecost? Acts 2, when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was poured out upon the 120 in the upper room. There were people from different nations, and they came to Peter, because that time he was an apostle, Peter, because Yahushua has ascended into heaven with a promise. Go wait in Jerusalem till I will pour out the Ruach HaKodesh upon you, and you will be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outer skirts of the earth. They came to Apostle Peter, they said, what must we do? The same man that did not have the guts to say, I'm one of his disciples, now anointed with the Ruach HaKodesh. This is what the Ruach does. It makes you bold. You don't fear whether you've got to pay with your life. Doesn't matter. He's bold because has been saturated with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. What shall we do? He says, repent. Now he opens the key. He's using the key to unlock the kingdom of heaven. Yahushua said to Peter, you are the rock upon which I will build my church. No. He never said to Peter, you are the rock. Yahushua was the rock of all ages. The word Peter in Greek means small stones or pebble. Pedro. Small stones or pebbles. Small stones or pebbles can't be the rock. Yahushua is the rock of all ages. But Peter, I'm going to use you to use the key of salvation, unlocking the gospel of my Father unto a lost world. Preaching unto the Gentiles. Because on that stage, on Pentecost, unto the crucifixion of Yahushua, 2 years of Yahushua's ministry, only preached unto the nation of Israel. The third year, the last year, he turned away. Yahweh turned him away from Israel. He closed their eyes to see and not to see, and their ears to hear and not to hear, in order to have the gospel of salvation, the revelation gospel of salvation, go to the Gentiles. And until today, 2025, still the gospel has been preached unto the Gentiles. Very few Jews or Hebrews will come to repentance. Very, very few. Why? Because they see and don't see. They hear and don't hear. And that's why in the Great Tribulation, the 7 years and 105 days, Daniel 12 is 11, 1290 days, plus Daniel 12 was 12, 1335 days, 2625 days, that 7 years and 105 days, that is the Great Tribulation period that Israel will go through. And in that time, one third or the remnant of Israel will accept Yahushua as the Messiah and the Redeemer. It's not all of them. One third. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we understand the scriptures, and that's why I've done my doctoral degree on a rapture for Israel. I've also set it over into a book. Not in a thick document, but in a book which can easily be handled with all the scripture references and a full bibliology in the back. So, you need to get a book. So what does he say? Verse 5, but he, Yahushua, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we, even in this 21st century today, 2025, and beyond, are healed. Scripture says, whatever that you shall ask in my name, whatever you shall ask my Father in my name, let me quote the scripture here, right, whatever you shall ask my Father in my name, that I will do. Hallelujah. The Bible says we pray and we receive not, because we pray wrong. You can't come to Yahushua except through the Father. Hallelujah. You've got to come through Yahushua to the Father. He's the light, the truth, and the way. Verse 6. Listen what he says. We all like sheep have gone astray. This is the Gentiles. We've gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It's like today. Look at all the different religions. 3,000, more than 3,000 Protestants, beliefs, churches, denominations, and everyone thinks they're right. Everyone is changing the word to suit their own theology and dogma. Where Yahushua said, I'm the light, the truth, and the way. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. All we like sheep gone astray, running around. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Yahweh the Father had laid on him, that's Yahushua, the iniquity of our all, our sins, and our transgressions were put upon him. Hallelujah. He bore our sins in order for us in this 21st century to be saved and free of sin. Don't you sin? The word says that we are living by grace. It's grace and grace alone. And we don't use grace to sin. And we don't sin because of grace being abound. We live by faith through grace. He bore our iniquity. Verse 7, he, Yahushua, was oppressed, and he that was Yahushua was afflicted. Yet he that Yahushua opened not his mouth. That is capital H. He, Yahushua, is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He was brought to the lamb, like a lamb as to the slaughter. Came to be offered. So actually Yahushua was not just only the high priest. He was also the lamb. The perfect, perfect lamb. And that's why he didn't have any broken bones when he hanged on the cross. His bones were broken afterwards to make sure he's not alive. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb. So he, Yahushua, opened not his mouth. There's a song that says he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone. He felt rejected. He was so alone. When he cried out, Yahweh, Yahweh, my Elohim, why have thou forsaken me? He felt that he was forsaken. He was not. The Bible says that the earth turned dark and there was thunders. Father, in thy hands I lay my spirit. So that which he received from the Father, the right hand, because Yahweh cannot die, because he's eternal. But Yahushua died. Actually, I said last week when I used the glasses, but before he died, he said, Father, in thy hands I lay my spirit. So he gives back the right arm, which he received, the right hand. Then he was human, like he was born, and he could die. Then he told his apostles to wait in Jerusalem before he sent it into heaven. And I will send you the Comforter, the Ruach HaKodesh, that will lead and guide you in all righteousness and truth. And on the day of Pentecost, the Ruach was poured upon the people. The same right hand that overcome Yahushua today lives within us. Because the Bible says Yahweh, the Father of heaven and earth, does not live in temples and in synagogues and in big stadiums and in big cathedrals and whatever you want to call it, churches. He does not live in temples made by hands, by human hands. He has such a non-feeling. He doesn't have a feeling about the temple anymore. That's why he allowed it in 70 after Yahushua for Emperor Titus to burn down the temple, break it down and burn it down. And for 2,000 years it was never a temple. Yes, today everybody wants a third temple. It's unscriptural. He has no desire in it. It's like running backwards, running in slow motion backwards in time, bringing back the 613 laws of Moses, bringing back the Sabbaths and the offerings of the high priest and the red hyphen, and you can, so I can carry on. They all lost his value. They rejected Yahushua. And now all the YouTube videos that says Jesus has appeared on the temple, the Dome of the Rock, and Jesus has been seen here. What does Jesus look like? This is the first thing that I ask myself when I hear about all these Jesus appearances in Jerusalem. Now, in this year specifically, tell me, what does he look like? Does he have long hair and blue eyes with a white cloak? Or do we believe what the Bible says? He grew as a tender plant, out of root, out of ground, dry ground. He had no form or comeliness. And when we, Israel, shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and is rejected of men. The Jesus that you see, they don't even say Yeshua or Yahshua as it should be. They just say Jesus appeared. Hebrew people believing in Jesus. So the Orthodox Hebrew people, they're supposed to be Orthodox, they're so Jewish that they can't even acknowledge that there was a revelation name, that he received his father's name in John 5:42. I came in the name of my father. His father's name is not Jesus, but he was called Jesus. Well, then at least then his father's name must be Jesus, if he received his father's name. No. The father was Yahweh. Yod Aleph Hei Vav Aleph Hei in Hebrew. Ancient, original Hebrew. And he is Yahweh Shua. The Shua, S-H-U-A, means Redeemer, Savior. And for those that are still expecting him, the Messiah for Israel. So when they say they seen Jesus, what did they see? They see, or they saw, the Matriarch Christ. And with all these lights and lasers and all these new technology, they can create any in the sky. There's nothing, and they can create with lights and lasers an image of Jesus standing there on the Dome of the Rock, or standing in a synagogue, any place. Can you understand it? Why? It's in order to condition the people accepting the thought that there must be a third temple. Now this new thing now is, which they are promoting, is not a third temple anymore. It's just an altar. They just want the altar. That's good enough. Just that. No, but where's the temple story now? Yeah, but there must be an altar for the high priest to sacrifice the red hyphen. For what reason? To prepare the way of Jesus Christ to appear. No, 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 no. You don't need a red hyphen. You need repentance. If the Hebrew people in Israel can repent of their sin and accept Yahushua as their Redeemer and will be prepared to be immersed in the name of Yahushua for the forgiveness of their sin, they can become bright. But all the time the conditions are changing. Then there must be a third temple. Now they say no, it can be a small church. Like a little synagogue or something. Now the new thing now is they don't need a building anymore. They only need a place on the Table Mount, just where they can place the altar. But you don't understand. The Bible says that he that will sit in the temple needs to sacrifice for 7 years. And then the covenant will be broken. Daniel 9:27. According to Daniel 9:27, in the middle of the week, then the covenant will be, where will the covenant, he will sit in the temple, but there's only an altar. You see, the people are running forth and fro, and they don't know what to do. And everyone is listening to the other one's scams. And everything is about money. Because people is pouring millions and millions of dollars and different money values into the committee of the temple teachings and preachings to make people aware of the third temple. I want to invite you, go look at my study that I've done already, The Lies of the Third Temple. Go look at it. And read the scriptures. Read the stuff that I'm going to give you there. And see the lie that we're living in. The Bible says, and I'm ending, we're living in the time of the big lies. You need to have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to keep you functioning and understanding the scriptures. Now time is caught up with us till next week, if it's Father's will. Maranatha, Yahushua's coming back again. Hallelujah.